that down. You know, we've got the flames of fire here among us already. I hope you noticed. And up here, of course, flames of fire as well. Man, Pentecost Sunday, what a thing to celebrate. What a thing to remember. We celebrate Easter and the birth of Jesus, and I think it's appropriate that we remember the birthday of the church, the day that we see the Spirit being given as gift to the church. I guess I'm concerned at times that we take life so for granted. Our lives are full of abundance. We have plenty of everything, and food that my parents and grandparents could have never imagined. Things that come to us from all over the world. And not only that, but think about our homes and clean water and all of the amazing things that we have right at our fingertips in our homes. I love reading history, and you know that generations ago could not imagine how we live. Just simply couldn't imagine. In addition to that, I understand, and I also think that part of the abundance is simply the things around us, the air that we breathe, the atmosphere that protects us from burning up, protects the earth from burning up. It's a living membrane that surrounds the earth, and it's just right. It's 15 miles thick, about approximately. And it's just right. It's just the right thickness that we can grow things and things don't burn up. And then the infinity of space is just mind-boggling to me. And I think we just don't think about those things. We take things for granted. We yawn, I believe, with indifference at all of these wonderful things. And I'm mentioning this because I hope that in our Christian life that we don't become so complacent, so contented, and so used to being Christians that we take things for granted. I'm concerned that when we look at things like Romans chapter 8 that was read to us, the language of being heirs and adopted children of God, adopted and part of God's household, part of God's family. My hope is that we don't become so complacent and it just becomes ho-hum. It's just part of the routine of our life. And so I wanted to begin there with that. Ike read for us from the Message, "Don't you see we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent. There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial. Get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go." And that's the shape that I want to take us this morning. There are things to do and places to go. We cannot be indifferent, complacent, that God's Spirit beckons and calls us. And so today, we celebrate the great deliverance party of God. For salvation is deliverance from that which would bind us. It's cosmic deliverance as well as personal deliverance. For we know that in God's great plan, in the cosmic design of what God is up to, that redemption is already happening and is on the way for the full redemption, the full deliverance. Just a few short verses later in chapter 8 of Romans, creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. This whole sense that creation is waiting, and that we know, we look forward with eagerness and anticipation of the day of deliverance, the day when fully set free, all bondage is broken. The created world can hardly wait for that to happen. But here's the thing, you and I live in the in-between times. So we can taste liberation and being set free, but at the same time we also understand and taste the sinfulness and the grip of bondage, the grip of things that would hold us back. And it's in this tug of war of the in-between times, this living in the reality of our life and our world, and the understanding, knowing of what we look forward to. And it's in this in-between time that we hear God's Spirit beckoning to the Spirit within us. The difficult times of pain are simply birth pangs, in Paul's language. Birth pangs. Not only what's going on around us in creation, the birth pangs of creation, but there are birth pangs within us, arising within us as well. And the Spirit of God arouses us, moves us, speaks into our life, and we too feel the birth pangs of new creation. I love the song, New Earth, Heaven's New. The Spirit of God that hovered over the face of the dark and of the deep, that brought new life and new creation forth, is now hovering over the world. And there are places where this new creation is breaking forth and showing forth in the world and in our lives. And so we join together as God's people who have had a tiny taste of what's yet to come, and who also are yearning for the full deliverance that will be ours in Jesus. So there are two things from this text that I would like to highlight. First of all, Paul calls the followers of Jesus, lay down your life. Lay down the old life that you had and clothe yourself. Take on the new life of the Spirit. And the second thing that Paul calls us to in this text is to see ourselves as children of God. To make our identity as a child of Christ. Now there's language here that I think is a little bit confusing and people get tangled up on. When Paul uses the word flesh, the word flesh is translated from the Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X. And here's what happens is people confuse the word flesh in Romans 8 and think that it's our body. And in reality, Paul uses soma, the Greek word soma for body. And so people have gotten confused and hung up as if there's something evil or bad or something inherently wrong with our bodies. And just to be clear about what is being said is that when Paul writes about the flesh, and when Paul writes about putting to death the flesh, he's not diminishing the importance of the human body. Our bodies, God loved creation, God loved the world. Our bodies are good and are valued by God. So that's not what is the problem. The problem is the flesh that Paul writes about, which resists the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So there's something about the human spirit that is fleshly that resists God's Holy Spirit. It's a resistance that Paul calls us to overcome. Paul calls us to lay it aside, to put it to death in his words. We are to be free, again in Paul's language and again later in Romans chapter 8, the bondage. We're to be free from the bondage of decay. The spirit that works against new creation is the bondage of decay. And we're to be then to live into, to experience, to walk in glorious freedom as God's precious and holy children, to set aside the bondage of decay and to walk in freedom. So freedom in this text and in this context, freedom is not freedom from the material world, but it's freedom within the restored and what is being restored in creation. It's an embodied freedom that reflects the image of God and the glory of God. What Paul is describing in these verses is for the here and now. It's for us. It's not something that is yet to come. We are to experience new life and new creation as God's Spirit fills us and empowers us and helps us to live in this newness of life. What does it look like to walk in the Spirit? What does it look like to put on our clothes in the morning? When we put on our clothes in the morning, how do we put on the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, as we get up in the morning? What does that look like? And I would suggest to you that it looks like Matthew chapter 5. The Spirit-filled life is that life that flies in the face of human tendencies. Jesus talked about the merciful are blessed, the peacemakers. He said those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the poor in spirit, those who mourn and the meek, those are the ones who are blessed. And when we live into that reality, when we take on that character in the Spirit of Christ, we are living in the Spirit. And Paul writes about what it looks like in Galatians chapter 5, where he says the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is the byproduct. It's what comes about. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the ways of the Spirit life. It's a contrast life. I think you hear me say that at least once a month, don't you? It's a contrast life. It's a life apart from, separate from our human tendencies. It's the way of the kingdom, and in Jesus' words, this is the way of blessedness. So if we see the Spirit life as putting on clothing, I want to just illustrate, if I may. Am I on? I remembered. I don't know. Did I turn my... I didn't remember. So let's say the light color. You see, it's two colors, right? The light color would be the human spirit, right? We're made in the image of God. And among other things, being made in the image of God gives us some, you know, people get confused and say that we have the divine or the stamp of the divine, or they don't use the word stamp of divine. People get confused and say that we're divine. And our spirit is, in Christian terms, in the way that we understand ourselves, a small s spirit. It's a part of our life, but it's given to us in the image of God. It's part of what is our reality as being created in God's image. Now, if this is God's spirit, and this is the human spirit, how do we become alive, and how do we grow, and how do we gain in our walk? How do we become quickened in the spirit? And so Paul uses the language of being filled with the spirit. And what happens if you get a little touch of the spirit in your life? It changes you a little bit, starts to grow you up, it starts to make you more aware and more able to live in the Spirit. And I know that there are times in people's lives when they get just a giant dose of the Holy Spirit. I've run into people that have had that experience where the Spirit just pours all over them, and they just have radical change. I have to tell you, in my life, I've hardly had any of those experiences. My life has been a little bit more like, you know, a Sunday here, you know, a Bible study there, a retreat, maybe a retreat somewhere. I got a little bit more, you know, we're still not the same. But we're growing. We're gaining on it. We're growing and becoming more like Jesus, more like Jesus in our life. And I would suggest that our times of worship, our corporate public worship, our times to tune in to the voice of the Spirit, our times of private worship. You know, sometimes private worship at home just becomes, oh boy, I read my scripture for today and I said a few prayers and now I can get on with the rest of the day. Well, I know we're busy, guys. I know we're busy, and I know that the tendency is to do that. But what happens when we slow down, when we read scriptures a little slower, read scripture a little more prayerfully, when we listen carefully, where is God speaking? How is God working and talking? And who are the people that are being brought into our lives as ways of deepening? And I'm not even starting to talk yet, am I, about the times when we need to discern. The spiritual discernment, or times when we need a word of wisdom, times when we simply, beyond human wisdom, are looking for a word from the Lord. And so that becomes then our walk. That becomes our life together. We take on and put on this life in the Spirit. Now, just briefly, the second thing that I wanted to talk about, the second thing that I wanted to talk about was, where is it here? This being adopted, this being part of the family of God. I'll be very brief here with this. There's a cluster of words. We're called sons, in Romans 8, sons, Abba, Daddy, Father, children, adoption, heirs, joint heirs. It's this whole cluster of words We're to see ourselves in this household of God, and this language accrues through this. Verse 14 says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons, are children of God. The son language and children language is used interchangeably. This language doesn't come to us through the Old Testament. Paul is using Roman language. In Roman times, children were adopted under Roman law. And when they were adopted, they became full heirs. They had the full rights of biological children to the household. And so this putting on and putting off of the new, putting on of the new, putting off of the old, comes to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is free, grace is free, but living in the Spirit requires a certain amount of cooperation. It requires us cooperating with the Spirit of God. One of the ways that I have seen people adopting new identity is in our recovery meetings that would meet every week, week after week. These men and women would meet for recovery. There were things in their life that had gripped them, that had held on to them, that they were seeking to live beyond and to be set free from. And so they gathered together, and week by week, slowly their identity, if they gave themselves to the recovery, their identity would change. They would confess their sins to each other, and their sins and their confession would be held with grace and with love. And they would share the places of temptation, their places of actually where they fell. They would share things in their life that were not easy for them to share. But over time, I saw their identities would change. James puts it this way: confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you can live together and be whole and be healed. And so, not only was there confession, but there was accountability. How did it go this week with you? And accountability for the people who were in recovery. When we live in the Spirit, we slowly acquire the habits of freedom. We are set free to serve God instead of ourselves. We're set free to serve others instead of ourselves. Galatians 5 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourself be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. Last week, I shared these very similar words with you when I said, when we go out in the name of Christ, that this happens as an encounter and because of an encounter with the risen Jesus. And I would say the same thing today, this morning, as we talk about a new identity, as we talk about setting apart the old and putting on the new, that none of this can happen without an encounter with Jesus. We have to be perfectly clear about that. You can't do this on your own. There is no human power that can do this. To be set free means meeting and having a powerful encounter with Jesus, coming face to face with Jesus and inviting Him to be the Lord of our life. A slave can never be set free unless the master sets him free. Let's pray. Lord, we long for the freedom that we experience in You. We long for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Lord, I ask that if there is anyone here that has not yet said yes to You, that they would meet You in new and fresh and clear ways, that they would give themselves to You and surrender their life to Your life. And at the same time, I also would pray that You fill us with Your Spirit, that You help us to surrender more and more of our lives to You, that we would open ourselves to Your work and Your ways. Lord, and we glorify Your name, and we give You thanks, for You are a mighty God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.